This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move over to the David case, cutting through a lot of the noise over there. 15-year-old found on September 8th in the frunk of the impounded Tesla owned by artist David. The cause and manner still pending. Electronics seized in the property of David. There's still a lot of questions, a lot of rumor, a lot of not knowing really any information other than they found a woman who was friends with David at some point in time in a frunk of a car. And that's what we know. That's pretty much, you know, the end and the end all be all at this moment in time. So many weeks in, Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent. Why is it? Why are we so far into this in terms of time and there is no arrest? What does that tell you about what's going on behind the scenes?
Well, this is the biggest problem. They have to get a forensic anthropologist to explain how in the world she's deceased. And that's the problem. Was it? Was it a homicide? Was it, and I can't imagine this, a suicide, and then somebody took her body and put her in there? Was it completely accidental, like an overdose? I mean, to me, the one thing that cannot be denied is somebody tampered with her body, put her in that frunk, and that is a very chargeable offense. That is the only thing that's bothering me, is why in the world haven't they been able to identify that person? And the only conclusion I can make is because the cameras were disabled or the cameras were enabled, but the person was Brian Koberger kitted out. And like I said, didn't have the big eyebrows to distinguish him or her.
But we're talking about a very heavily trafficked area. There are other security cameras beyond the car. You know, you're going to have street cams. You're going to have ring cams. You're going to, God knows however many other cams. That's why I'm just kind of surprised this far in. I can't imagine they're sitting there going, well, the security features on the car weren't working. I guess we're screwed. I mean, they got to be like, okay, the car was here. The car was there. It was at these locations. I cannot imagine they don't know who the hell or have a good idea who was in possession of that vehicle. And it likely wasn't David, considering his location while some of these things would have been going on, at least moving in the vehicle, doesn't appear he could have physically possibly been there. But it's your car. Somebody within your orbit was. How on earth have we not figured that out yet?
Well, and I think in line with that question is, when did she really die?
Yeah.
I mean,
we know weeks. Weeks is so broad. What is happening with their timeline? You know, they have the timeline from when she was discovered. They have the ticket on the car back, I believe it was the 29th, was the ticket. So we know the car was there then. We have this severe decomposition, but again, in a plastic bag in Los Angeles over all those weeks, she's going to be severely decomposed. I already showed you. I don't think there's any possible way to put her body in there other than to have it dismembered, which was the original reporting from KTLA. Yeah. So the point is, when did all of this happen? And that vehicle tracking system is still going to exist. There's still GPS on that system. They should be able to have a tightened up timeline by this point. It's just putting who is in that timeline. I guess they have to be struggling with.
Are they struggling? I guess there's a lot of ways this could be going, and that's what the behind the curtain, what's the wizard doing that makes it all the more curious is, okay, are they struggling to figure out who did this, or have they discovered this is something bigger? Do you think we could be looking at that? Could we be looking at some sort of, look, and I'm not trying to accuse David of anything, but I don't know who his circle is or who he runs with or somebody within that circle. Could we be looking at something larger, a trafficking circle or some sort? She was a runaway. Obviously on and off, she's reported missing. So, you know, this is the, if this is the type of folks that they're hanging around with, or that circle is hanging around with, it also happens to be the type of circle of folks that end up being trafficked as well. So I that's what I'm wondering. Like, are we going to find something else? Is there something bigger at play here where let's not disturb the ecosystem more than it already has been, so we can get our tentacles in here and discover something bigger and larger and stop more people from being hurt beyond Celeste?
Well, I love the question, but when you look at these cases, if you're the wizard, you better damn well get the Tin Man, the Straw Man, and the Lion in and start questioning them. And whoever put her in that trunk, and obviously they don't know, because if they did, I can tell you, they would have already done that arrest and be putting pressure on them for desecration of a corpse and mistreatment of a corpse and hiding a corpse. Those are all legal, you know, those are laws, and I would have them in there and I would be putting the screws to them to work that web out. That, I think, is the most confusing part to me. Okay, you don't know how this happened, but you know she got in there. Why is that person not been identified? And that's the surprising part to me. With all the cameras and, you know, the timeline from that vehicle, why can't they figure out who put her in the trunk?
Is there any chance that they know who this is and they're just biding their time trying to piece things together and we're going to find out? Or do you think they really just don't know?
I think they don't know, because I can't imagine not putting the screws to that person. And that means taking away their liberty and making them uncomfortable in a jail cell where they have to think about, am I going to cover for how this all happened? So I just can't imagine that behind the scenes, they're just interviewing that person. They would normally want to put the screws to them unless they're trying to work some sort of undercover situation, which that does happen. When you know one person is responsible, at least for part of the crime, sometimes you want to be working an undercover operation where you're wiring them up, you're sending them in, you're trying to get conversations, you're making phone calls, you're trying to get the people that might have been involved to talk. And if you're sitting there in a jail cell, nobody's going to talk. So that's about the only alternative scenario, other than they don't know, right? It's either they know and they're doing this alternative possibility, or they just don't know.
Yeah. And that's a big question. When you don't have a lot of information, any sort of noise in a case becomes headline news. Oh my gosh, what is this about? And it doesn't all necessarily mean that it matters, that it has anything to do with it. We had heard about the swatting calls to a property that is owned by David's family, his mother and father owning it. And we'll talk about the property transfer in just a few moments. But I want to talk first about the swatting call, because a lot of people are bringing that up of, oh my gosh, is this connected? Does this have something to do with the person who did this to Celeste? I don't even understand why we're jumping into any sort of connection, other than there's this big story around this celebrity and somebody figured out where the parents live and they made a swatting call. The kids do this shit all the time. Like, I don't see why that this necessarily even connects in any way, shape, or form to the case.
I think the way it connects is so remote, and that is, David, we think you're responsible for this. We're going to make your life uncomfortable and your family's life uncomfortable. We got the numbers, so we're going to do a SWAT call. That's how I see it. You know, a lot of people in the audience, a lot of people on my platform, everybody is pretty much convinced it's David. He hasn't been charged, but his actions look terrible. You know, why do you cancel your entire concert schedule abroad and here, unless the police have said you can't go abroad?
Yeah.
And here, you know, he's gone in total hiding. That is not normally what somebody would do. Remember, there's nothing they haven't even named him a suspect.
That's true. That's a good point, because when you look at, and not to say that because one other celebrity handled it this way that the other would handle it that way, but when you had like the R. Kellys of the world and things like that, and R. Kelly, like, specifically, he still was out there touring until like they literally locked him away and said no more. To go into complete hiding, I guess, is I guess what I think a lot of us would have expected other artists would have done when, you know, stuff's hitting the fan, but others did not, but he is. So yes, it looks suspicious, but is it? I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate there for a second, and you can't go on world tours and such if your funding is dried up either. So I think you could look at that, and I don't know the answer to that, but if you have a bunch of, you know, sponsors that are enabling you to go and tour, and they're suddenly saying, yeah, we're not going to fund this anymore because you breached the contract based on this being a story, I could see there's not really much of an option to go tour if there's no dollars to put you there either.
Okay. Couple of things on that.
Okay.
First of all, let's just $20,000 a month that he was paying for his house, right? Not a big number for people in that circle, but all of a sudden he moves out of there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then your sponsors aren't going to dry up on you if your story is legitimate. If you say, listen, you know, I was touring with you. I had nothing to do with this car. Five other people, you know, dealt with the car. I haven't seen Celeste since July. I don't know anything about this. And if it passes the smell test, I don't think all of that's going to dry up all of a sudden. Right. I just by the very fact that sponsorship, the tour, everything has completely alienated from David, despite the money to be made, especially with all this publicity, they would be sold out at every venue. Everybody would want to look at the potential front killer, right? But we have nothing. And I think that's a big deal. You mentioned R. Kelly. How about Diddy?
How about Diddy too? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't hide in a turtle shell and just stop their ability to earn a living. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really a big deal, I think.
So you would say his actions after the fact have looked far more suspicious and possibly criminal. I mean, obviously all speculation, he's not been charged with anything, but they look, his actions after the fact are what's raising your eyebrows more than anything else.
Yeah. His actions, the complete withdrawal from society, from his tour, just basically saying, okay, millions and millions of dollars, I'm not going to go out and make that.
What about the property records? Because that's another piece that we've been seeing about this last week. Two pieces of property moved into his parents' names or his mom's name, from what we understand, allegedly. This happening shortly after the body was found in the trunk. It was just a kind of a silent move. And again, I'm going to play devil's advocate. This doesn't necessarily mean any sort of guilt, but if you are envisioning, oh, there could be a legal windfall issue coming your way that could threaten these sort of things civilly or criminally, whether you had anything to do with it or not, you can't necessarily control the wave that's going to come at you. If one of your associates did this and your name's attached to it, you're going to want to protect yourself, especially if you had nothing to do with this. Do you see that the movement of those properties to shield them, because clearly that's the reason for it, there's no other reason why you'd move these things around, as something that leans more towards an area of involvement, guilt, or just smart business move?
Well, it looks bad. There's no way to say it doesn't look bad. Yes, you bring up a good possibility that he just thinks he's going to take the fall, so he wants to make sure he protects his assets and puts them in his mom's name, I believe they said, of both of those properties. But most people, if he has a legitimate alibi, if he has a legitimate way to distance himself from what happened to Celeste, most do not act this way. Most In fact, if he loved this girl enough to get a tattoo and become a Hello Kitty sponsor, why in the world is he not showing a little bit of, even if it's just to come on and say, Celeste was a close friend of mine. Oh, my God. I can't believe this happened. We're not seeing anything. So I think his actions look really bad.
It's a weird PR move to stay silent. I understand not wanting to say anything, but he could have said something, anything, And but he just
he's
didn't.
Damned if he is, damned if he doesn't, I kind of feel like, isn't he? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if he comes out and says something, oh, he's trying to cover it up. If he comes out and you also may have camp going, see, he had nothing to do with it. He's human. I don't know that the guy can win in any way, shape, or form here other than just shutting up in terms of opening himself up to liability.
Well, he may not win, but he could certainly move the public meter in his favor if mm-hmm. he's given a written statement about how terrible he feels about this death, even as somebody who, you know, isn't. I mean, none of us are close to Celeste, but all of us have this feeling of empathy for this 14-year-old, not even 15. She was found the day after she would have turned 15. She was 14 of the strife of this young girl. And clearly he knew her. So to say something even in written form so you could run it past your lawyer and be safe. The other thing is he didn't even go to her funeral.
That's a problem.
I was going to ask about that. Because, I mean, it was a small private. And again, devil's eye, he may not have been invited to the funeral. I mean, if you're the family and you're burying your runaway daughter has had this real weird, questionable relationship with this celebrity, do you want that celebrity at your daughter's funeral? If you could say, please don't show up, I think I'd be saying, please don't show up. I kind of got to look at it both ways. Jen?
Yeah, no, I like your point. This happened with Karen Reed too, right? But that was a huge funeral, thousands of people. She could have easily melted into the background. She didn't go to the funeral either. Obviously, the family didn't want them there because they believe she was her son. But back to this point, you make a good point. They might have said, we don't want you to go there. But I don't even know that they would know how to contact him. I mean, the bottom line is, I think it's just optics. You know, you want to get the public on your side. He's done nothing to get the public on his side.
Are you surprised? I mean, because it's often at times, it's not like when a celebrity's in a situation, they suddenly are gifted the wisdom from above as to how to handle this. They have PR people, and that happens because they have money, because they have record labels, because they have things that are behind them that have a vested interest in this person not spinning out into oblivion and taking their cash cow with them. I'm wondering what the hell's going on here. There's been some pretty bad PR people over the years, too. I mean, Cosby's had some horrible ones. There's been some Diddy's had some horrible ones where it's like, wow, do you work like next to the Rent-A-Center, you know, over in the mini mall? Is that where your PR firm is? But there's usually something. Here, there's nothing, at least not very public facing compared to what we've seen with other celebrities in other very questionable situations.
Yeah, you know, I'm really curious as to how much power he has with his PR people. In other words, you know that a lot of the people behind the scenes, the public figure, they have a lot of power. They're really running the show and they're not listening. So is he listening to his PR people?
Yeah.
I guess that's a good question.
Well, he does. We know he has PR people because his PR representative came out and said right after she was found, my client is fully cooperating with authorities.
Okay.
We have that statement, but we also have that statement that just came out where from LAPD, the detective on the case, where he said, I can neither confirm nor deny that he's cooperating with authorities.
What does that mean to you when you hear that?
What does that say?
That means he's not. When they are, you say they are.
Oh.
Okay.
That's why would they be so vague about that? Why would they say it that way?
They say it that way for a couple of reasons. First of all, if he's done anything at all, made contact, you know, had an attorney make contact, they don't want to say he's completely uncooperative. And some law enforcement authorities will just call it the way it is. He's not cooperating. But to me, this makes it seem like he's not cooperating, but they're holding out for a change. That's how I see it.
Okay. Interesting.
Wonder how long you wait to hold that out to see what's going to happen here with a change, if there's ever to be anything. At some point, he owns the... If this guy wasn't David the artist, if he's, you know, David who works, you know, down the road at the Citgo, and his main job during the day is changing out the Slurpee machine. And they found a body in the trunk of his car. Would we be sitting here all these weeks later with nothing going on with that individual? Or are they handling this a lot more cautiously because there's celebrity involved? Because if you screw this up, if you really destroy his name by going too hard, too quick, and he really didn't have anything to do with it, you open your ass up for a huge lawsuit as well.
Well, and I think it, yes, it's definitely your points that you make, Tony. And then add to it some of the egg on the face we've seen lately. And again, Diddy is the perfect example.
Yeah.
Because once you charge, the clock is ticking. And these smart lawyers are starting to say, you know what? We might not be ready. We don't have the burden of proof. We're going to let the clock tick. We're not going to say we're going to give up our, liability in terms of the amount of time that you have to bring the case forward. And this is something new that we're just seeing now. Most of the time that is waived. Like in the case of the Idaho Four, they waived that right away. They said, listen, we don't care about our speedy trial. We're not at all ready. That's the stance they took. But you look at these other trials, what they're doing now is they're saying, you know what? We're ready. Bring it on. And the problem is, in a lot of cases, like I think with the Diddy, I don't think they were fully ready.
This is such a game of chess, isn't it? I mean, there's so much strategy on the back end of this that I think the public just doesn't understand.
It is. It's a lot of chess, and you only get one bite at the apple, as I've said before. And because this case is blown up in the media, most, you know, anybody in true crime, and that's a newsie, has heard about this case, and they have to make sure that they don't get it wrong. They got to get it right the first time.
Yeah. And that's what's so confusing about this case is everybody's jumping at anything and everything that they possibly can because they're desperate for a piece of this story. I mean, we're looking at it every day going, okay, well, what's new? And like some days there's just no angle to cover. So, if you need to do something, then people will dissect some angle or make it bigger than it actually is. But I think that's what's really important. And this is to look at every angle and go, okay, this is a mountain, not a molehill, and vice versa. Some could pitch it either way. And if you're looking for answers, one could interpret everything as being mountains when they're truly not. And then that gets in the way of just getting to justice and figuring out what actually took place. It's fascinating. We'll see where this goes. Do you feel like we're any closer, like we're going to be seeing an arrest or a charge or something sometime soon against someone?
I think right now all the cards are on the table of that forensic anthropologist. There is so much to go through for them to figure out what happened. Because apparently we don't have a gunshot wound. So we can just, that is out, in my opinion. That's out. Yeah. As if that were the situation. And anything to do with blunt force trauma is going to be masked in some way by all the, you know, the degradation of the body. So now they've got to figure out what substances are in here. And unfortunately, those aren't overnight. And even though this is an important case in the public's eye, listen, they have 50 more cases that were likely ahead of this case.
Yeah.
Because as you said, the Sitka worker that, you know, was involved possibly in murder, they've got all those Sitka cases, too, that we never hear about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still waiting in line. You don't get the fast pass just because you're a celebrity in something like this. It's going to be fascinating to continue to watch. Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent. As always, thank you for coming on and giving your insight into this one. Break the Case is Jen's podcast. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaff on YouTube. Or like I said, wherever podcasts are available. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or, again, wherever you're getting podcasts. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Until next time, for Jen, for Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.